Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. This week, we're going to focus on major depressive disorder, the depressive disorders in general. And we're going to start out by differentiating depression, sadness, bereavement, grief, some of those different things, because sometimes we get those all a little bit confused.
That's right. And when you read this and you think about it, you realize the significant, I want a word bigger than significance. There's really a substantial difference right. between sadness and depression, and you forget about that until you get back into this mm-hmm. literature and you read about it and you say, wow, depression is really much more serious than we typically talk about it.
Right.
People talk about being depressed in almost casual terms. Mm-hmm. It's not a casual diagnosis. It's not a casual condition.
Right.
It's really a significant impact on your not just your emotions, but your bodily functions as well.
Absolutely. You know, so. Absolutely. So we're going to pull from an article from Bustle.com.
It's a little embarrassing. Here we are pulling an article on Bustle. Like an article of clothing. She had a big bustle on today. There used to be a thing that women wore, a bustle.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Okay. And when I saw this, I thought, bustle.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. But, I think that...
What is bustle?
I do like pulling from sort of common blogs and things like that that people tend to go to, because some of them are good, some of them are okay, and some of them are not very good. So I think a lot of professionals get hung up in the professional literature and they don't go out and look at some of these other things.
I was just going to say that you and I grew up in academic settings.
Right.
Training and experience and work have been in academic settings, and there only peer-reviewed literature is respected.
Right.
Because if you're going to cite literature, it has to be peer-reviewed, has to be carefully done. And you're expected to make some value judgment as to its credibility.
Right.
Okay. And so we are told as academicians and researchers, we're told you must rely on this literature. And it's such a refreshing change to be able to go into other literatures, because the people who are writing these things are well-educated and have years and years of experience.
Yeah.
Because they haven't submitted it to a peer-reviewed professional journal doesn't mean that they're less credible.
Right.
So I've enjoyed going into this literature after decades in academic literature.
Yeah, but I have to admit that I'm still a little taken aback sometimes when I'm reading and somebody uses like a curse word or some.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, oh wait, that's right, because this isn't a journal.
Right. I was reading.
It always surprises me.
I can't repeat it here because this is a family program. But I was reading something the other day and I was shocked because the words were used so casually.
Yeah.
And then I remembered that, oh, this is not meant to be an academic journal.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's very funny. But when we pull from this particular article, they talk about six things that differentiate sadness and bereavement from true, authentic clinical depression. And one of the things is that the first thing that they mention is the question, can you still enjoy things that you like?
Right.
And this goes to one of the major diagnostic symptoms of depression, and that's something called anhedonia, and I love that word. But it's the root is hedon, seeking pleasure, and so an, when you put that on as a prefix, that means the absence of, so absence of pleasure, and so anhedonia is a symptom characteristic of major depressive disorder where the person is no longer able to enjoy things, they don't engage in activities that they really prefer or anything like that.
Right. And we use this question as we look for symptoms. Do you still enjoy things you used to enjoy, that you used to enjoy? And then under each question, they differentiate a person with sadness is this, a person with depression is this.
Right.
So for this question, Do you still enjoy things you used to enjoy? People who are sad will. Bereavement, for example. We're going through a thing in our family right now with a recent loss of a teenager, of all things. And so the family has been shaken.
Right.
Okay. And so different family members are in the grief process. But even though they're grieving, they're still enjoying things. They slip into grief, but then they come back out. And it's in the course of a day, you can see them grieving and then you can see them enjoying.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
but in depression...
In depression, you have the anhedonia, you have the lack of pleasure, the lack of an interest in pleasure. So, you know, this is, to sort of use a common example, is that when a teenage boy, for example, is depressed, you'll find that all of a sudden he's not playing video games as much as he used to play video games. It's something that he's always really enjoyed, but now he's, you know, either he's not playing online anymore with his friends, or he's not just not playing as much as he used to play, and he's more withdrawn and that kind of thing. So
yeah, if they come home from school and they're in a bad mood for a while, and I don't want to do anything, and they sleep for a few hours, and then they get up and they're back at it. But if they come home every day like that, because we're talking about, with depression, we're talking about a mental illness, an abnormal state.
Right.
And there's this duration issue. It's not something that comes and goes.
Right.
Even people who are grieving will have periods where they can smile and laugh and talk and go out and do things. And then, then they slip into grief when they think about it, but then they come back out.
Right.
People who are depressed don't do that. Right. You don't see that switch back and forth.
Absolutely. Now, the second thing is... it really kind of gets to the pervasiveness of the mood. You know, are you depressed or sad about a specific thing, or is it more generalized?
That's right.
When it's really specific, the example that you gave just a moment ago, that's a perfect example of bereavement, because it's something very specific happened. And people are sad about that thing. But it's not a generalized depression where you're sad about that, but you're also down about what's happening at school and at home and at work and at this place. And it's just sort of this generalized, later this week, when we get to the diagnostic criteria, we're going to talk about, you know, being sad most of the day, nearly every day.
Right. And so that's really important in this differentiation, because this one is about reacting to a specific event, right? Number two, and if you break up with a partner, you know, your paramour, or you lose a job, or you have to borrow money, or you lose some money for some reason, you're reacting to a specific event, and in depression you're not reacting to a specific event,
right?
Right. Something just overwhelms you.
And
you may not even know why.
People
will frequently come in and say, I don't know what happened. I just can't get myself out of this. And I'm not sure. And we always ask, did anything happen? Loss or losing a job, losing even a pet, you know, has anything happened like that? And they'll say, no, it just all of a sudden I feel completely overwhelmed.
Now, the third one is the presence of significant changes in eating and sleeping habits.
Right.
And again, as we talk about the diagnostic criteria later this week, we'll kind of get into, you know, the idea that depression, along with depression, comes major changes in eating habits, sleeping habits, activity levels, and things like that. And so, you know, with sadness, you know, you may miss a meal or something like that, but generally speaking, you know, you're doing the things that you want to do. You're sleeping most, you know, close to normal, and you're eating close to normal, but not so with depression. With depression, you know, sometimes with depression, a person may lose a considerable amount of weight.
That's right.
Because they're not eating for a long period of time, or they start overeating.
Overeat, then you're gaining weight.
Right.
Okay. So if you get a significant change in eating or sleeping patterns, that may be a cause for concern.
Now, number four has to do with the variability of your low mood.
Right.
So, again, with sadness, you know, the sadness is the sadness. I mean, it doesn't get a lot worse. It doesn't really dip. Unexpectedly,
and it comes and goes.
Right.
Okay. There are times when you're sad, and there are times when you're not sad.
Right.
You may be sad a little more often for a short period of time, but there's a variability. The sadness comes and goes.
Right. It kind of goes back to number one.
Right.
You know, you can still enjoy things.
Right.
With depression, even with moderate depression or even mild depression, it's there. Kind of going back to that, most of the day, nearly every day.
Right.
There's not a lot of variability there. It's there most of the time. And sometimes it will get worse.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have dips for no apparent reason.
Right.
In sadness, if it ever gets worse, it's usually because there's some new event that triggers a worsening.
Right.
I think of the sadness that people experience when a person disappears.
Right.
You know, there's sadness there because they don't know what's happening or anything like that. And then, you know, that sadness will deepen when, you know, if the person's not found after a certain amount of time, or if a body's found or something like that, then it worsens. But it's because that specific thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like with depression. With depression, it's just there.
Right. Right. I think the breakup in a relationship is probably the best.
That's a great
because that's where you become sad,
mm-hmm.
but you probably aren't going to become depressed. If you do, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to be sad, but if your friends come over and you go out,
yeah.
you might feel good that night.
Right.
Okay. Whereas
right.
if you're depressed,
mm-hmm.
that's not going to happen.
Mm-mm.
Okay. There's a duration and an intensity
that's
different with depression.
Absolutely. Number five is, do you experience self-punishing or extremely self-critical thoughts? And this really gets to the idea, something we'll be talking about throughout the course of the week, of distorted thinking or cognitive distortions, we call it sometimes. And you know, with sadness, you generally maintain your self-esteem. You generally maintain your overall impression and feelings about yourself.
Right.
But again, it's not the case with depression.
Right. Right. With depression, you just slip.
Right.
Into that, I'm worthless.
I always fail.
That's right. You start to use superlatives.
Right.
You know, I never. I always. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference. Whereas sadness, again, it comes and goes. You know, but you're not punishing yourself in sadness.
Right.
You know, you have this. You have the blues, and you feel down a little bit, but you're not going after yourself.
Right. And kind of an extension of that is number six, which is self-harming thoughts.
Yeah, five leads to six.
Right. With sadness, it typically, with normal sadness, you don't usually get anything like that. But with depression, it's not uncommon to have self-harming thoughts, suicidal thoughts. And it's really important that we recognize that this is a part of depression that comes about sometimes. Not for everyone, of course. But you know, when you start having those distorted thinking that, you know, I'm never going to get any better, things never work out for me, I always fail.
Right.
When you start having those kinds of thoughts, then that's what increases the risk for self-harm and suicide.
Yeah, I think the self-harm issue is much more pronounced in depression than it is in sadness. People who are just sad typically don't hurt themselves.
Right.
People who are depressed might. There's a much higher likelihood that they might.
Mm-hmm. Right. And one of the biggest predictors of self-harm or suicide is the feeling of hopelessness.
Right.
You know, hopelessness and worthlessness. Those are the two. And I always thought that was interesting because we always associate depression with sadness and then sadness with the idea of self-harm and everything.
Right.
But it's not the severity of sadness that predicts best predicts the risk for self-harm. It's that feeling of helplessness and hopelessness.
Right. And so I think the bottom line here is that sadness is a normal human emotion. It's on the, you know, you should have a range of emotions.
Right.
There are times when you're sad and there are times when you're happy and there are times. So sadness is on this spectrum of human emotions, and it's a normal state.
Right.
Okay, it It doesn't last very long. It comes and goes. No serious consequences attached to it. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with being sad once in a while.
Right.
Okay. Depression is abnormal.
Right.
And it's much more intense, longer duration. And I think those are the two biggest things, is that if you're depressed, it's pervasive.
Right.
It's it is abnormal. And you know it's abnormal because you start to experience those much more problematic symptoms. Mm-hmm. Well, there are 9 of them that we're going to talk about later. Right. But you begin to experience those with depression, and you don't have those with sadness.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So sadness is okay. Mm-hmm. I think where you see this play out, or at least where I see it play out, is with teenagers and young adults. Mm-hmm. You know, from the teenage years, from puberty until maybe into your mid to late 20s. Mm-hmm. Because it's a period of your life where you're trying to make it in your career, you're trying to make it in your relationship, you're married, you're having young children. There are a lot of things going on, and there are a lot of reasons to have a range of emotions.
Right.
You know, when you're older, you know, like your kids are grown and all that, your life begins to settle somewhat, mm-hmm. okay? But in these early years, you have many more reasons to have a range of emotions. Mm-hmm. So you're bound to feel sad once in a while.
Right.
But if it moves in that other direction, mm-hmm. Which we're going to talk about the rest of the week,
right.
then you may have something that you want to seek treatment for.
Right, mm-hmm. absolutely. And, you know, just as often happens with, you know, whether it was obsessive compulsive disorder that we've already talked about or some of the other disorders and mental health conditions that we've discussed, you know, people will often say, oh, I'm just depressed today. Okay. And we have that sort of in common vernacular, but that's sad. They're sad today. You're not clinically depressed on
right.
Monday, but then Tuesday everything is just fine. Wednesday everything is fine. Thursday you have mm-hmm. you know you're mm-hmm. clinically depressed again. It doesn't really work that way.
Right.
So you know, fortunately or unfortunately, clinical words like that have entered into the common vocabulary, mm-hmm. and it makes things a little bit confusing. But know that there is a big difference between depression and sadness.
That's right. And when we talked about anxiety, we talked about people
right.
who tend to be a little more anxious. Mm-hmm. They're still normal. It's
right.
not a pathological condition.
Right.
Same with depression. There are people who are sad more than they're happy.
Right.
Okay. That's not a mental illness.
Right.
Okay. There are people who are just mm-hmm. sort of, they see the world a certain way.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're sad more than they're happy. It's mm-hmm. sort of their temperament.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Who was it? There was a Peanuts character who was no. It was Eeyore.
Eeyore, right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
From
Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh. Mm-hmm. Who was, and that character, mm-hmm. and there was another character on the blue character in, what was that? Cartoon.
Why did you say that? Inside Out.
Inside Out.
Yeah.
And there was a little character.
She was sadness.
Right,
mm-hmm.
sadness.
Mm-hmm.
Normal.
Mm-hmm.
That was all normal.
Yeah.
Okay. She was sad more than she was happy,
right.
but normal. It's normal stuff.
Right, mm-hmm. absolutely. That's it for today. You noticed a little bit of a change in our audio quality today.
Oh,
and
that's right.
You noticed the little microphones on our shirts.
Drop some food on my shirt.
You're hitting
I'm tapping
so it's probably going to be loud. I'm sorry about that. It's the sky. So, but we're making a couple of changes over the next couple of weeks just to experiment with a few different things. So we'd love to hear from you if the audio sounds better, if there's something that needs to change with it. We're just trying to make this better and better so that the experience for everybody is better and better. So
the sound quality is better.
I think so.
Yeah.
It sounds better when we play it here. So
hopefully it will be out there.
Hopefully it will be out there wherever you may be.
Where you are.
So,
mm-hmm.
all right. That is it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.
Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We'd be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information.
Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.